to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want to start reading in verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here, for he is risen. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" Today we're specifically talking about celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly we ought to be aware of that every day. But one day a year, we draw special attention to it. The world used to. You know, we used to have Christmas vacation and Easter break. Those things are gone. Luke 24, verse 5's account of this morning says, "Then as they were afraid," talking about the Marys, "and bowed their faces to the earth, the angel said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee.'" You know, of all the words that have been spoken in history, those are the three greatest words: "He is risen." They are the most life-changing words ever spoken. You know, life is full of events and happenings which men mark in their minds and on their calendars. And depending on what country you live in, it depends on what's marked on your calendar. Some things that we remember and mark are personal. You know what, our calendar at home, we have birthdays marked on there and anniversaries and things like that. Weddings. So some are personal, some are national, and some come and go. And people remember these days. They remember Pearl Harbor. You know, it used to be the saying, "Remember the Alamo." People remember where they were on 9/11. If you're old enough, you remember where you were when JFK was assassinated. The most important event of history took place when the angel said, "He is risen." I would like to say that I believe we, as a nation, as a Christian nation, are undergoing perhaps the greatest test that we've ever undergone. I've heard people say that this nation is undergoing the greatest test since the Civil War, but really these are greater tests than the Civil War because these are more spiritual in nature. As a nation, we've been tested by war, sin, greed, Darwinism, but now we're being tested as never before with pleasing God or pleasing man. That's the great challenge of today. Pleasing God or pleasing man. You can't serve, as the Bible says, God and mammon. You can't serve God in anything. We are being tested with the acceptance of man's ideas or God's truth. For generations, history was divided between B.C., before Christ, and after Christ. Now it's no longer that. It's now the before the Christian era. See, it's not Christ anymore. It's an era. We've got to stand fast. We've got to decide whether it's about a man or an era? Is it about a man or an idea? The ideas are always subject to change. But Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we grew up, we were always taught, my generation, I don't know when this quit, but we were always taught that America was a melting pot. That meant that people came from all over the world, and they came to America, and they came out Americans. Just like jambalaya. They tell me jambalaya is made with whatever you want to put in it. And some way or another, it comes out jambalaya. Well, today, you'll never hear people say America is a melting pot, because today, it's a bunch of separate pots. And we know that a nation divided against itself isn't strong. A melting pot was strong. Today, the devil's tried, and in the hearts of many, has been successful in turning people away from truth. These truths. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but through me. He said, no man comes to me unless the Holy Spirit draws him, and the Holy Spirit doesn't draw anybody until they hear the word. This truth, there's only one name given under heaven by which men must be saved, or I came to give life. Today, for the first time, we're faced with every kind of idea about truth, spirituality, eternity on every side. There's a great test going on. Are we going to be a Christian nation or just Christians in a nation? Amen. For the first time, we're not confronted just from the outside, but we're confronted spiritually from the inside. We're confronted with the face of all sorts of false religions, false doctrines, crazy doctrines. In fact, I visited with a fellow this week. I didn't remember how goofy people were, talking about worshiping animals and owls and cardinals and some pastor who had become a shaman. I thought, what am I going to say to this guy? And I just let him tell me all of his crazy ideas. The fact is that there's many spirits in the world, and we have to speak the truth in love. We can't accept falsehood, but we have to walk in love. And it's love that never fails. We have to give people love. We can love people without accepting compromise. What if Christ was not risen? Well, if Christ is not risen, then one of two things: either he lied or he failed. He said the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Either he failed or he lied. But he didn't fail and he didn't lie. And we have to face the fact that there are many voices all around us in America today, and that many, many, many people would rather please them or not displease them than please God.